Hi, it's Elise.
And this is Hannah.
And this is episode 6 of Love Her, Leave Her Wild.
Woohoo!
That was a good one. I felt it.
Thanks.
So originally we had planned an episode about single mom and dating and all of the things with the guest, but we ran into lots of technical difficulties. We're gonna do that one next time, and this time we're just gonna talk
real candid, as if Hannah and Elise are just hanging out.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on with you? What's new?
Well, I'm getting ready to leave for Utah.
Ooh.
So yeah, I'm excited. It'll be the longest I will ever have been away from my children ever in the history of forever. Like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself. It's like 10 days.
That's a long time. I haven't been away from Felicity that long. Yeah. Never.
Never. I like don't even know what to do. I'm like, do I sleep?
Yeah,
I get to sleep. I get to actually sleep. Like, I get to sleep in. I get to like sleep through the night.
Are you going by yourself, or what's?
Where are you going? No. I'm just going with somebody.
Oh, who's that?
Oh, my boyfriend. Yeah, this will be the longest we have spent time together. So,
are you nervous about it?
No, we never really get sick of each other. What about you?
Well, it's been crazy. We thought my mom had a stroke a couple weeks ago. My stepdad had come in and he from work, and he was talking to her, and she wasn't really making any sense. She knew she wasn't making any sense. So we took her to the hospital, and they saw some blood on her brain, and were like, and they said she had a stroke, and sent her home a couple of days later with speech therapy and whatnot. And then maybe a week later, I don't really remember the timeline, everything kind of like mushed together, but her speech started to get bad again, and we weren't sure if it was like regression or what. And then all of a sudden she couldn't feel her right hand and then the right side of her mouth. And so we told him to take her back in, and there was a bunch of blood on her brain and swelling. And they believed she had a tumor. And so she was in the hospital for a few more days, and they were just kind of like, I think we're going to do this. I think we're going to do that. And so my sister and I were like, this hospital just isn't doing it for us. So we had her transferred to Chicago. Mm-hmm. She's over at Rush there, and they're a great hospital, and they performed the surgery the next day. And she did in fact have a tumor, and they took as much out as they could. And he did say it was malignant. And so now we're just waiting on results to see what type of cancer she has. And she's recovering from brain surgery right now. She's still there. She's going to have to do like a month of rehab after.
Gosh. So if they took all of the, well, not all of the tumor, but most of the tumor, mm-hmm. and it's cancerous, do they still have to kill the rest of it with radiation and chemo, I'm assuming?
I think I read is that if it's in the brain, it's radiation, but okay. I'm not really sure. Yeah, they couldn't get it all because it's like in the brain. So if you cut it out, then you're mm-hmm. cutting out like important parts of the brain. Mm. So there's still some in there, and she's slowly recovering.
Do they know if it's like can like come back or like grow, or
it depends on what kind it is?
Okay.
Yeah, so we're still waiting. So it takes a week after they send it into the lab, and it's been, I think she got it Thursday, and today is Monday, so we still have a few more days. I don't even think she realizes. We did tell her it was malignant, but it was like the day after. Yeah, the day after she had surgery. And so I don't know, you know, she just, I don't know if she like registered with her really.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it has been an incredibly stressful time for myself and my family. So, you know, that's what's been going on. It's been a tough year.
Yeah, dude. I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't know I was getting divorced. My dad died. Now this with my mom is a lot in less than, it's all happened in less than a year.
Yeah. Gosh.
Mm-hmm. So, and you know me, I'm always trying to be positive.
Yeah. But
yeah, I have found it hard. Pretty difficult lately to continue to find the positivity, to continue to find the hope. And I have to remember what, you know, a former therapist told me, which was it's okay to be sad. But
you think you're going to get back into therapy after all this? You think you'll be okay?
I don't know. I mean, I probably should, because I do feel like a lot has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Those were really big life changes. And yeah, I probably should, at least for maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to process that, because it's a lot to process. But I mean, right now I'm so focused on other things. I need to focus on myself. But I don't know. I'm trying hard to not be sad all the time and to continue to find hope. And you know, I just have to talk myself into it every day. I like, you know, my famous pep talks.
Oh, do I?
Everybody knows them. That's what I do to myself every day.
I can't picture this. You're like, okay, Elise. Yeah. And you're like standing in the mirror.
I don't stand in the mirror, but that would be funny. I would feel really silly doing that, but it's more in my head. Mm-hmm. And I just tell myself like, okay, you've been through some hard shit. And, you know that it gets better eventually. And that's just how life works. And you have to be strong. And, you know, this is all going to lead to somewhere down the road. You just can't see it yet. And you just have to like continue on your path and try not to lose hope. But man,
it's kind of hard sometimes.
It is. For me, it's really hard right now.
Yeah.
Like I go back and forth. Like, I'm just like, okay, I'm okay. This is, you're talking to me after my pep talk. Like, yeah, no, it's fine. I'm going to be fine. And then like a few hours later, I'm just like, oh, why is this so hard?
I feel you.
You know, but I definitely have learned about like, there's no built-in meaning to things. And I think that's really helped me. And what's tough for me, and I think I've told you this just personally, what's tough for me is that I'm a real big proponent of choices. So like you make your choices, you have to deal with consequences. That's just how it works. And I say that to myself, you know, and the things that have been going on aren't of my choosing. So that's what's hard. Because usually I can tell myself, well, Elise, you did this, like, mm-hmm. you know, you have to live with it.
Yeah.
But now it's like all out of my hands. So definitely. I'm just like, ugh, I don't have anybody. I can't blame myself.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like with me, I mean, I feel like I'm always trying to blame myself, even with my mom's death. Like, that's the thing that gets me the most. It's just like, you should have, you know, been there, should have gone to see her. You know, you knew she was in pain. I mean, I was there like 2 days before she died and I didn't even go up to see her. Like, I'm like, I couldn't have prevented her death, but like, I could have done things to not make me feel so shitty about it.
Like what?
I don't know. Just, it was really hard. I don't know if I was really hard on her. I mean, she was, you know, my mom. So, but towards the end, like, I was blissfully living in this, like, you know, new, exciting, adventurous life where, like, things with Renee were kind of changing and I wasn't really sure. And life was like, life was good. Life had finally was getting good. And my relationship with Brian's family was like totally turned around. And, you know, I was spending time with them because his sister was in from out of town. And those aren't bad things, but they're definitely things I regret in the moment now that, like, the last couple weeks of her life, like, I just wasn't around. But it's not like I could have known.
Yeah.
But it's like part of me did know. And that's what's like, I hate. It's like I felt like something was coming, but I still didn't, like, you know, spend extra time with her or like make her, you know, get up and, you know, come sit with us or play with the kids, or like I just kind of let her do her thing because I knew she was struggling. Yeah. And I should have not.
Do you think that would have changed anything?
I don't know. I've thought about that a lot. It maybe would have helped give her strength to, like, you know, go on for a while longer. But eventually everything she was dealing with was just, the doctors weren't doing anything about her pain, and, you know, she was could not get out of bed, and it probably would have eventually happened in a month, 2 months, who knows.
But so then you really can't blame yourself.
Yeah. And it's not really, maybe it is a little bit of blame, but a lot of it's regret, like, you know, I feel like that's why now I'm like, I can't not tell people how I feel in the moment when I feel it. Like, nothing's more important than, like, if someone comes across my head and I'm thinking about them, like, I just have to talk to them. And, like, because you just never know.
Yeah.
And then that part sucks with, like, the people that, like, you know, are no longer in your life, that should not be in your life, but you still think about them. And it's like, God, if I died or if they died, like,
you know, I'm trying to think the people that aren't in my life, if I died or they died, I would feel sad. I would say I'd be sad if I died, you know, but, you know, I don't know that I would feel any differently. Like, it ended the way it should have. I'm looking back now and I don't think there's any one person that I wish I could go back and change anything or have one last conversation. Because I did, you know, and some people just aren't meant to stay in your lives forever. Yeah. And that's okay.
Well, I mean, yours are farther. They're like more in the past, you know. I feel like my specific few were very abrupt and there was no like final conversation. It was just over. Which is kind of like death, honestly. So it's honestly like they've already died, which I've had to grieve anyways, but then it would be like re-grieving that if they did die. And then of course I would have a lot of regret, but at the same time, it's not like I belong in their life or they belong in mine.
So. Yeah. I mean, and I think the further you get away from it, you kind of see that and just, you know, there's nothing more to have been said, you know? I think closure is bullshit, bro.
Really?
Yes. Closure is bullshit. Closure is me coming to you and being like, so what didn't you like about me?
I don't know. For me, it's like, I don't like endings being, and I would never want to know that, you know, in this situation right. with her. I don't want to know what she didn't like about me. For me, it would be more like, I think I meant nothing to you and you hated me and my life was worthless to you. And how could, you know, 15 years of a friendship just completely mean nothing? Can we discuss what the heck happened? And in my hopes, it would be that, like, it was a conversation that ended, like, in agreement that it was a good thing, not like a, that would make me feel better. But if it was like a, oh, well, I think you're a piece of shit, blah, 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 I never really cared about you and we were never really friends, of course that's going to make me feel worse. But
I don't most like bad endings. It will most likely happen though. And not maybe in those blunt terms, but it'll be like, you know, she says to you, well, I don't like how you did this. And I don't like how you did that. And I wasn't a fan of this. And this bothered me and that bothered me. You walk away feeling like a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
I would never say that to somebody. So I guess.
But again, it's not. Here's the thing. Again, I don't think anybody would just. I don't say, you know, you and I are now talking about this particular person in your life. So I don't think she would come up and just say that. I don't think that. I think it would be more in the lines of a conversational tone, but it would still make you feel like garbage. There's not a thing that she would say that wouldn't make you feel bad. You know, because it would just be her telling you why it didn't, she didn't want to be friends.
Why it didn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess where for me, it's like, as much as I hate her, I also love her because I actually cared about her. So I could never say those things. For me, it would be like, I never want the word, like, I would never want anything awful to happen to you, even though in my very angry days, I've said something different. Mm-hmm. But because she's a person that was in my life, and I would never want something bad to happen to a person that was in my life. And mm-hmm. no matter what, even if they've hurt me, you know, I could pretend that I'm, you know, angry and pissed off and I hate them. But like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you've done to me. Like, I still hope good things come to you. And, you know, that we can just realize maybe we weren't meant to be in each other's life, but like, there's no hard feelings. But I hate the hard feelings part. Like, I can't live my life with hard feelings.
Well, then you have to forgive to yourself and move on.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be that, because regardless, even if you walked in wanting to end with that, like, no hard feelings, I wish you the best, la la la, there would have been a whole conversation before that where she basically said, this is why. And then you would feel the need to like say, well, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so what is that really doing for either of you?
Yeah. And the truth is, I wouldn't say any of those things. I would just sit there and let her say shit to me. And then I would be like, I feel awful.
Yeah.
I still wish the best for you. And I'm sad that, you know, I didn't matter to you and you were important to me and blah, blah, blah. And then I'd walk away like, well, mm-hmm. everything I knew is true.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know. It's just, I would hope, I guess it's the validation that I seek in everything. I would hope that that wouldn't be how the conversation goes.
Yeah.
But it would be, so.
Right. But you have to be able to validate yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Work on that stuff. What? What was that?
I said, I don't do that very well.
And now we're getting, see, and this listeners.
This is how the conversation goes. Mm-hmm. Every day.
Mm-hmm. So then we find out.
Like, Elise, tell me about your life. Your mom has a brain tumor and cancer. Oh, let's talk about me.
that's how it goes with everybody, basically. but that's the thing. And this is where when you delve deep into something, a conversation, or like we just had about an actual particular like person and event. But what really comes down to is the shit that you have going on with yourself. Not you in particular, everybody. Me too.
Well, yeah, but right now it is the me stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it always boils down to like your feelings on things. It's what you are lacking or what you want or need in yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So really we need to work on your validation. You're able to be confident in yourself and who you are as a person and who you are as a friend and a human being, and that you don't need to seek these out from, you know, external people.
Yeah. I do that. I need that a lot.
Yes, you do. You do.
Hey, but so do you. So
do I?
Yeah.
No, I know I'm pretty worthy.
Well, no. I just mean you seek the validation. You know you're worthy.
Yeah.
But you also like, you know, you do the things to get to hear the validation when you need it. We just went over this the other day. Sometimes you'll like say things, you know, in certain situations that like when you feel like you haven't been validated in a while, you know, because we went through the whole thing of like if they haven't said it on a normal basis, you know, you feel like they no longer feel that anymore. So sometimes you'll do things
to get that validation. Okay. We generally talked about that's a little different. That's like affirmation.
Yeah.
So if you, okay. So you and I both are words of affirmation people, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And so if someone is giving me words of affirmation, someone I'm dating really, cause I don't
you feel really, like you do it with friends.
No. Do you feel like I do it with you?
No. But I think when I go out of my way to randomly affirm you, I mean I can't say how I feel like that affects you, but I think I don't know, maybe it's more you need it in those times and you like recognize it, and maybe you did it beforehand, I don't know.
Yeah, but so with my friends I love affirmation, don't get me wrong. I love when my friend reaches out and, you know, tells me something that like they love me or they're glad I'm in their life, blah blah blah. Absolutely. You know, but I also don't need it to know that they love me. It's just a bonus.
Yeah.
But guys, I think I really need that affirmation. And if a guy, I think, and this is just generally speaking for many, many women, if a guy is giving you affirmation after affirmation, you know, the next day or the next 2 days or 3 days is giving you nothing. It makes you almost feel like, okay, did he stop?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is going on? And that kind of, you know, sets you back. And that's what you and I talked about. You know, and yeah, there have been definitely times where I've like, okay, well, let's just see, let's just poke the bear a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but I will say, like, in being a little bit older, I might do it once in a while. I'm not going to lie, I'm not perfect, but I do stop myself and have to remind myself that I am worthy and deserving of affirmation and amazing men in my life when I do find one.
Yeah.
You know, that I am confident enough to know, just like with my friends, that they love me.
Yeah.
Without all of the,
tell you, it's like you said, a bonus. It isn't like make you believe it. It's like you already know it and you just liked hearing it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's just like, nice. I would like to meet someone that just does that I feel completely loved, you know, and worthy and all of the things. And he feels lucky as hell to have me and still affirms that
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, why is it so hard?
I don't know. It's hard to be confident.
No, I meant, why is it so hard to find a guy like that?
Well, that's true.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I try to be confident. I try to remind myself to be confident. You and I have had that conversation a million times about how I need to be my own main character because I've never been in my life.
Yeah.
Ever. I'm a supporting character, which is weird because I feel like I have enough charisma to be a main character.
Oh, totally.
You know, I was just selling myself short.
Well, yeah. You have like phases of like when you're a main character. And I feel like, I mean, my first year of being divorced, I felt like I was main character shit. And then my mom died. And now I'm just like, not. So I feel like maybe it's normal for it to come and go. Maybe. I don't know.
You feel like a side character because your mom died?
No, more so it just like took away my confidence.
Okay.
You know, where before I was walking around knowing how great I was and that people were like blessed to have me in their life. Come on, because I'm a beacon of light.
Beacon of light. She, y'all, she did Marco me one night just randomly.
Seriously, because I truly felt it. I was like, you are blessed to have me.
She did. She's like, I'm hilarious and a beacon of light. And I was like, thanks for telling me.
I truly believe that about myself in so many different relationships. And then, you know, I mean, I think that's normal with tragedy. You know, you start
questioning
yourself
and your confidence gets shaken in the world and how things work and that nothing is permanent.
Yeah.
You know,
and it was just, you know, I'm no longer at my best self. Like, how do you, like I was before she died. It felt like I had finally gotten there and I was like peaking at like my confidence and what I wanted and just like, you know, everything. And then everything happened and now it's, I feel like everyone in my life has seen me at my worst, which like the most broken I've ever been. And that makes me less confident because like, you know, that's not a confident person.
I mean, I think the most confident people would be heartbroken if their mom died.
Well, yeah, but like you don't, your boyfriend doesn't pick you up off the shower floor while you're, you know, at the end of yourself and just want to die and feel confident. Like that's not a situation that like, you know, the hyperventilating and crying in the middle of the night when you're sleeping. Ah, sorry. Not a situation that makes you feel confident.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a lack of confidence. I think that's just despair.
See, now we're going to dive even more deeper into Hannah's issues. I was raised that you don't show that side of you. That's brokenness. That's not confidence. That's not strength. That's weakness and brokenness. And, you know, it's not pretty, which I don't agree with. I'm not going to say I agree with that statement, but that's just in my head how I've, you know, I don't know what taught me that really, but the two together don't resemble strength. One resembles weakness. And you don't feel confident when you're weak. You're not your best self when you're weak. At least my twisted right. thoughts.
Because being able to be that vulnerable with people you love, I think is pretty brave and strong.
Yeah, but for me, the only times I'm brave, or not brave, the only times I'm, you know, vulnerable in situations like that, I get left.
Because you didn't have the right people in your life.
True. And he hasn't left. So he's the right person. But it's just, it's still like you sit there like, okay, but when are they going to leave? They haven't left yet. But are they going to leave?
And what am I going to say to you right now?
I know. Which part? the just putting that out in the universe,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah, don't you don't do that. It's you're just it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you keep saying it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So stop saying it. Why don't you instead say to yourself, I am worthy. I am deserving. And this is why it's going to continue to happen.
So can we name this episode Therapy Talks for Hannah?
If you would like to. No, but I think it's important for people to know that, you know, it's a very real fear for many people, like people, especially people with any kind of abandonment issues. And like I always say, there's two kinds. There's ones that you're scared that everybody's going to leave you. And then there's the other one that you're scared to leave someone because you don't want to hurt them like you've hurt before when you've been abandoned, which is mine, the second one, which is why I can't leave anybody. And yeah. I continue to let people in my life, which I probably shouldn't.
That don't deserve to be in your life.
That don't deserve. I know exactly who you're thinking right now. And so help me God. you know, sometimes you don't know everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If I think someone is worthy to be in my life, they are. You just don't see all of the sides. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think it's pretty common with abandonment issues or, you know, just being fearful of being abandoned, but you know, it's all really has to do with you.
Yeah.
You can't control anybody else, but you know who you can control? Who's that, Hannah?
Me.
Yes, exactly. You can control yourself. And what do? You do hot girl shit. You live your life and you know your worth.
Yeah.
And if he's gonna leave, then it was because number one, he wasn't your person. Right?
Right.
Yes. And number two,
but I'll kill him.
You were better off. That means that your person is out there elsewhere. Yeah. Because what do we do when something like that happens? We assign our own meaning to it.
Oh, this is great.
Because there's no built-in meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
So if someone were to leave your life, there's no built-in meaning. It doesn't have to mean like you're a terrible person or, you know, you can't keep someone around. No, that's not a built-in meaning. That's the meaning you assigned. So then you switch it up and you say they left because they weren't my person, because I am going to meet my person eventually. And that changes the fucking game.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm always right.
Yo, I'm sometimes right.
Mm, yeah, a little bit.
It's like 90-10.
Yeah, you are right sometimes. But it does. It changes the fucking game, because guess what? That puts the ball back into your court. That puts your life into your own hands. It doesn't. We have got to stop letting other people rule our lives and our emotions. You know,
yeah.
You can't live every day worried if someone's going to leave you. You can't do it, because first of all, that takes a lot of damn energy. Second of all, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because eventually they will.
Yeah.
Because who, you know, they're just going to get the sense that, you know, you're just clingy and.
Okay. But can we acknowledge the fact that I self prophesied, fulfilled this relationship for 8 months? Okay.
You did. You willed it into being. I will say that.
Every day I convinced myself it was going to happen.
You sure did. But look, it did happen because you manifested it.
Yeah.
So then why are you manifesting it to be over?
I'm not manifesting it to be over.
You are. You are.
No.
Yeah.
I would die. I would literally be heartbroken.
Yeah, but you keep saying things like that. You keep saying things like,
well, I mean, my mom died.
Okay. But I'm trying to tell you, this is how, you know, we need to look at this. What was that?
I know. Anyways, let's talk about you.
No, we were going good on you. I think we
I feel like you get built up. You like this shit.
I always love to be a part of anybody's personal growth.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's, I love my own personal growth, but let me tell you, it's hard. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of regret and fear. And it's hard. It's hard. Nobody likes to look at the parts of ourselves that aren't the best.
Yeah.
But that's what growth is. Yes. Acknowledge it. Change it. That's all growth. And to be able to be a part of that journey in some way, shape, or form is like an honor to me.
You're welcome.
And I have been, you know, I'd like to think that I've been a part of quite a few people's growth.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know all of the friends that you have.
Oh God, do not roll your eyes.
How lucky you are to have such great friends.
I just attract them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like,
I like my circle small, honestly, though.
I don't have a ginormous circle. I don't know why you think I do.
Okay. You do compared to my two-man dot.
But, I mean, they've been, for the most part, they've all been friends for a very long time. Except for some of the guys.
Speaking of words of affirmation.
Okay.
Do you know all your love languages? Like in order, like least or greatest to least.
Oh, for me personally?
Yeah.
Well, number one is obviously words of affirmation. Number two is, I think, acts of service.
I feel like you need to retake it now that you're single.
Okay.
And dating.
Okay, I will.
Because if you're basing it off of marriage, oh God. They're completely different. I don't know. I haven't retaken it, but I would assume they've changed. My physical touch was a zero when I was married. But right now I'm like, why aren't you touching me? Hold my hand. Hug me. Let's cuddle. So I would definitely say my physical touch is grown.
Yeah.
But I would have to retake the test. My assumption would be words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, gifts.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm going to take it now to see where I'm at, because I also, physical touch would have been my last.
I literally scored a zero physical touch when I was married.
Mm-hmm. But after being with someone whom I actually wanted to touch, it turns out I like it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah, that was amazing. I was like, oh, I could probably be fine my whole life without it. And then,
oh, before, really,
yeah. So, yeah.
I think we also had babies, though. I think that was a huge big thing, too. Like, we were just constantly had to be touched, you know. And now we're like in the phase where.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean
Felicity still. She touches you all the time, but yes, she does. Like, hold
she
me.
She touches me more than Adeline touches you, right?
Yeah.
But Claire Mae touches you as much as Felicity touches me, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Claire Mae is always up on me.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I have her and the dog on me. Oof. Boy. Sometimes I just want my body. But yeah, it turns out when I really like someone, I like it a lot.
And when you're actually attracted to them.
Turns out when I'm really attracted to someone, I want it all the time.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knew? Who knew? I don't think I've ever really been.
I've never in my life ever.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Super attracted to
for both of us. Where I'm just like, could you just sit here and stare at me all day? Can I just touch you and hold your hands and look at you and Yeah.
I mean, I'm not there. I'm not like that, but I definitely want lots of stuff from someone, the person I'm very attracted to right now. But so for me, it's more like hugs and cuddles and kisses.
And things.
And things. And sex. And lots and lots and lots and lots of sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but who would, I would never have known that. Like.
Oh, yeah. Same. That was like a new awakening.
You and I had always talked about that.
I literally could have gone my whole life without being kissed or touched. Like, I did not need it or crave it at all.
Yeah, me either. But then, yeah, it turns out like when I really like someone and they make me feel good, like they make me feel like they see me, I do want to touch them.
I think for me, it became when I like trusted someone emotionally and like someone actually sat there and cared to like take care of me emotionally is when I was like, holy shit, I need you physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had never had that like need for physical because my emotional needs were never met.
Right. Oh God. If I could get my emotional and physical needs met, solid.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal, isn't it? Yeah. I'm excited for that part. I've had like emotional needs met kind of. No. Have I had emotional needs yet, Matt? Met yet?
I don't know. I mean, he stimulates your brain.
Which one? But the current one or the first one?
I would say the first one.
Yeah, the first one definitely stimulated my brain 100%.
Well, no. I would say the second one.
The second one, yes, in a different way.
Yes, but I think the first one, he stimulated your brain a little bit. But not in the depths of what you needed.
Yeah. He stimulated my brain in a way of my passion about things. And
well, and he was just your first
person I dated after.
To clarify.
Yes.
But also your first person that made you excited and felt like those things.
Well, he's the first person that actually saw me after years of not being seen.
Yeah, but if you look back on your dating even before your marriage,
it was terrible.
Yeah, you never had that ever.
Never, ever, ever.
So
ever.
He's literally the first guy that made you excited and like the butterflies and the feelings and the, you know, that high school puppy dog Hannah's in love with Renee's status.
Yeah, but I wasn't there with him.
No, but he opened you up to that.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, I was like, oh, this is how it could be. Realizing you could feel that way for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then the current definitely is my best friend, one of my best friends. And he definitely challenges me. So.
Yeah. The current one definitely, I think, stimulates the depth. The surface of the depth you need, you know?
Yeah.
He dove way more in than the first guy with your emotional needs, like surpassed him, but it's still not enough. Like you need more.
Yeah, I need more.
But he's the first one to like,
to call me out and
to get open and deep.
Yes.
But you need way more.
To call me out and challenge me about things.
And get deep.
Yeah. 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 I definitely need someone to get like
deep.
I'd say, but I would say he gets pretty damn deep.
Yeah. But don't you feel like,
oh no, I do feel like I need someone to like bear their soul with me.
Yeah.
You know,
something. You need a no reservation. Like
I need someone that's just fucking open,
yeah,
you know, and willing and someone
aware of, you know, all that there is to communicate about. I feel like a lot of these guys end up having the ability to go deep in some aspects, but the awareness of it all usually lacks and stops in a certain area.
Yeah, I think so. Because essentially then what happens is
you hit an area that they're not aware of, and then they can't go forward.
They can't. Yes. Okay. So then that happens is we, you know, they, I won't say they seem to be open, because there have been a couple, and one in particular, that was not open at all to any kind of communication or growth. But I have found, I found that, you know, sometimes when we get to a certain point, they're just like, whoop, okay, done. Nope. I'm not going to work on that with myself. I don't want to delve into that in my mind. And then bye.
Yeah.
And I need someone that is just like, no, bitch. Like, I want to grow, and I want you to grow, and I want to grow together. I need someone to challenge me. I need someone to call me out on my shit.
Yeah.
You know, because I have my shit. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I can say all the time, what do I always say? It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I will say, and when I say current person in my life, I just mean like currently my, one of my best friends who calls me out on stuff, you know, not that I'm dating. We're not dating.
Yeah.
You know, let me, you know, I'm still single, fellas, because, you know, there's so many men that listen to this.
There's no boyfriend contenders, but he's
one of my best friends. So he calls me out on my shit. You know, and, he says my favorite thing is absolutely not my favorite thing, but is my favorite thing, because I always say I'm fine. He always tells me, he always stops and says, you mean you're fucked up, insecure, needy, demonic, and emotional.
Okay.
And I always say this to him. I hate you. And number two, I'll only pick out like one of the things. I'll be like, well, I am emotional, but I'm not needy and I'm not insecure. Yeah. I think I hate the insecure and needy portion so much, though.
That's why it's freaked out, because you probably are freaking out. You can be insecure. Neurotic.
No, I can't.
Sometimes.
Never.
I don't know what neurotic means.
Well, he says needy.
Yeah, but if you didn't like needy and you replaced it with neurotic.
So I think we covered quite a few pretty nice topics. And if y'all want us to talk about any of them a little more in depth or have more of an episode about it, let me know. You can hit me up on my link in my bio at Flicks on Fleek. And let me know. We're sponsored by Dear Mom, a nonprofit organization who supports mothers with children with Down syndrome, Rose and Grace. And please check out the page on Instagram and Facebook. Love Her, Leave Her Wild, the upcoming book by me. And Never Alone at North. Go give them some love on Instagram. And we'll catch you on the next episode of Love Her, Leave Her Wild. Thanks for listening, guys. It really means a lot to us.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I like this one.
This one was good. But thanks for listening to all our episodes. I mean, the podcast is doing actually very well.
Woohoo.
I know. That's exciting. People like it. So yeah, please let us.
Messages.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I listened to it. I'm like, oh, you did?
Yeah. Let us know. You know, let us know your thoughts. Let us know topics you want covered, or, you know, whatever. And we want to cover those. So thank you. Just thank you so much for listening with us and supporting us. And I think I just need to say that sometimes, because I appreciate y'all.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Till next time.